Hello and welcome back to the Not God Pod. This is season 2, episode 11. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for listening. Today we have with us Yuval. Actually, wait, I forgot to introduce myself, so I'm going to do that now. For those of you who haven't listened before, I'm Zoe. I am one of the co-directors of the Not God Complex. We also have here Billy. Billy, say hi.
Hi. I am in a corridor at my university, so excuse the echoey sounds and excuse any sounds of dance class happening around me.
Great. We love chaos. And today we have with us Yuval. Yuval, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, Yuval.
Hi. Hi, my name is Yuval. My pronouns are she, her. I do theater and sometimes I'm funny.
Right. I think you're often funny. I don't know you very well, but you seem funny.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's the vibes we're trying to send.
Vibes achieved. Would you like to expand on the multitude of ways in which you do theatre?
Yes, I can expand on that. I approach theatre, and this is where we're off on a tangent. Let's go. In a very holistic way. So I started wanted to do acting, and then I was like, no, actually I want to direct. And then I was like, in order to direct, I need to do sound and lights because I need to be able to communicate. And then I'm just doing whatever comes my way these days, because that's a good time. That's an exciting life to lead, I find.
Yes, we live on the edge.
Yeah, I also teach sometimes. That is also a thing I do. That's there is a lot of hand gestures happening, yeah. But not a lot of sense.
For people without the video feed, because this is a podcast, the hand gestures are like to the side.
It's a side thing.
Cool. Yes. So,
do you want to tell us how you have come to be on this podcast today?
Sure. Zoe and I met while we were studying for a postgraduate degree. Let's call it that. That's a vague enough term. We would discuss all sorts of like random things and all sorts of theory things. And I also mentioned that I can do weird techie stuff. And as there is an upcoming show for the Not God Complex happening. Should I do like a plug? Are we doing a plug?
We can do a plug, because actually by the time we put this out, you will actually be able to book tickets.
Yeah, and we are, to be honest, always plugging our stuff.
Yeah, that's why we have a podcast.
Okay, so we're gonna do the plug. There is a show coming to the vault by the Not God Complex, all in good time. Get your tickets available now on the vault's website.
Yes.
So
24th to 27th of January, Studio Theatre.
Lego. So yes, so there was a mention of the show, and as we were discussing things, we thought I might be able to come in and help do some funky sound and tech related stuff for that. So and also we were like, let's chat about things. Why not? So here I am.
Yes. Yeah, just to jump off that, I think for us it's like a fun collaboration, because we're very interested in like interdisciplinary work and kind of like deconstructing the hierarchies between different elements of theatre, and kind of trying to move away from processes where we're like, we make the thing and then we tech it in the tech. And so for us it's really exciting to have like someone like you in the room, where you have the skills to like help us devise and see the piece and that kind of a thing, and like integrate the tech stuff into that, because you have an interdisciplinary mix of skills, rather than us needing to be finished or have like a sense of the piece before that collaboration can start.
Absolutely. And that's part of why I kind of pursued the knowledge of how to do all those things. Because when you make theater that, as you said, you only eventually address the tech of it, you're missing on a lot of opportunity to, you know, do some exciting stuff and make the piece make more sense or be more multifaceted or, you know, just more exciting, just more, let's say, integrated. Integrated is a good word.
Yeah, well, it's just like there's more possibilities the earlier you bring in the things. I don't know.
Yeah, it means that you're more informed about the possibilities that you have at hand. It's a possibility to do something that is bespoke to the show, rather than be like, yeah, this is what the rig that is in the space. You can be like, we can think about things that are not currently in existence but are relevant to what we're doing, and put them into the show or you know, get access to them earlier than later, which means you get more time to practice things as well. That's more sound related as far as I'm concerned. just doing very timed things.
Yeah, and then it's like also you just have another, because I think sometimes when we're devising, especially if we don't have anybody like external to the on stage action in the room, we get kind of stuck because there's no, especially if it's just Billy and I, because at this point we're just like a hive mind sometimes, and so we're just like, there's nothing to be like in dialogue with. So now it's really fun to like not only be like bring in more people and kind of expand our like group of people that we work with as company, but also to have like, yeah, that constant conversation between like, okay, this is the, I guess, like scene material and this is the tech, and then how does one inform the other? Billy says, and it's fun for that to be someone who knows about tech and who can constantly be looking at what we're devising with, but with tech in mind.
It also means your tech getting is easier eventually.
This is true. We're like, we already did this.
We already thought about this. We only need to do a thing.
Yeah, because I think also like the way we kind of structured the creative team on this show is that, because last time we kind of worked with a like directed devising model, and I think it feels kind of like a bit boxed in, but also we are aware that people have like specific skills within the creative team, so it's about like defining that but also not being like this is this role and this is this role, so allowing people to that everybody is contributors to the devising process but with particular expertise in mind.
Yeah, I think that
Oh, I was just going to explain how we structured it.
you talk about that and then I'll jump in.
Okay. So yeah, this time we're kind of being like, we have me as like text lead, which is just like, I am the person with the like writing expertise in the devising process, or Billy's movement lead and I was tech lead, so that it's like, we're acknowledging those specialisms, but we're also not being like, stay in your box, you know?
And also within that, sorry, I'm taking a moment with no drumming to speak. But within that, to also be like nobody is entirely in charge of anything, or like nobody is entirely in charge of the whole thing. Somebody can say, yeah, exactly, can like provide knowledge or say what is best for their thing. And obviously can suggest something else for anything else as well. But it does, hopefully, this is the first time that we're really, really trying to do this. But ideally, hopefully, that does then mean that we don't, that nobody tries to just like overtake the whole process.
Yeah, it kind of goes against that, the notion of an auteur that kind of dictates the entire vibe and aesthetic and approach to the thing. It was lovely. Like, we were in a room a couple of Friday. Days ago. Yes, on Friday. Time.
It's now Monday because there's no date context.
Thank you.
On the
I needed that. I don't remember what day it is for real. Like, no joke. I don't remember. But
oh, wait. No, so it was Saturday. And it's now Monday. Anyway, in the last few days.
At one point. But we were in the room, and it's just like, I think there is something to be said about how the fact that, yeah, you're doing your thing, I'm doing my thing, but we're in a space discussing those things in relation to one another. It just allows us to bounce ideas that I bring up, tech ideas that can then feed into what you're doing. Like, no spoilers, we were talking about all sorts of funky measuring stuff that we could be doing, and sound related things that relate to time, because time and sound, they go together in a lot of ways. So how these can be related to the text, how this can be related to the movements and performance and vocalizations that happen on stage, but feed back into the tech, and the tech feeds back into the stage. And again, it just, in my opinion, creates a more integrated final product. And there is also something to be said about pluralism, because as we were talking, sure, we have people who are leads, but everybody is feeding things, and there exist multiple opinions and narratives and concepts in the space at the same time, which, sure, somebody has to have a final say, because eventually there is a final product, which, again, if there is another run, it keeps growing. But it means that people are aware of other ideas in the space rather than having a single mastermind in charge of the whole vision and creation of the thing.
Yeah, because I think it's to do with what sort of disagreement is productive, right? Like, if you set up a space and one person goes, this is what we're doing, and then you have to be like, oh, actually, I disagree. That becomes like a very particular type of conflict that is distracting and not going anywhere. Whereas if you set up a space designed for disagreement, in the fact that, like, I don't know, I'll suggest someone and someone else will be like, no. And then we'll be like, how about this? That's productive. And it's able to be productive because it is framed and held and the space is set up for that. Because we've not decided that one person is right from the outset in our, like, structuring of how we approach the creative process. Is my opinion on the matter.
No, that makes absolute sense. When you have a director in the room, even if it's a director who takes time to establish a safe space, which is the phrase we all enjoy, love, and know the exact definition of, then it's ooh, what are, there isn't a particular, I'm not reading anymore. What Billy said in the chat, there isn't a particular person who is supposed to have the last word. Yeah, it's not one last word. It's a last discussion.
It's like we had this discussion through a series of like disagreements until we came to a resolution, rather than somebody presented a resolution and somebody else had to be like, actually, no.
Like, I think about it in the perspective of, like, having worked as a techie and a designer on other shows, that there is, you know, a lot of times a director will come in with a certain vision, and that's the vision, and we execute, and it's kind of like a input-output situation. And when it's a devised piece, especially, like, you don't come in and here is text, here is input, give output. It gets messier, but again, it gets more interesting as well. And mess is not a, we're not afraid of a mess.
Yeah, we're not afraid of mess. We're not afraid of creative disagreement.
We love conflict.
We do love conflict.
Chat. We love conflict.
Yuval, do you want to tell us more about how you love conflict?
I knew this would happen. Yes. So a big part of my practice and what I did my postgraduate research on was about integrating conflict into actor training via fencing, which physical conflict, but also arguably demands a lot of quick thinking and finding ways around and reacting to the other person who is with you in that conflict. So yeah, I think that conflict is inevitable, and I will say inevitable, although I have been like, I got the little comments on my research going like, is it inevitable? Yes, in my opinion.
It depends how you're defining conflict as well, right?
That is also true.
Like, I often think that actually what we consider to be conflict, which is the moments where, like, people have, like, fallen out with each other and it's all gone really, like, sour, is actually because one or multiple parties in that are not willing to engage in conflict.
I would say that what you're describing is not necessarily conflict, but disconnect, like the bit of conflict where we have reached the conclusion that there will be no conclusion and we're just cutting it off, and it's disconnect, and I do not like disconnect, because I think that if you're into theater especially, you're all about connecting, finding, it's all about connection and its presence or lack thereof in theater. Because that's in the, why just in theater? The human experience is the big things discussed on this podcast here today. But yeah, so it's kind of like disconnect, and that's when you can't work anymore. Because if you're not willing to discuss and engage in that conflict and live in that place of multiple ideas and right ways of doing things, I'm doing air quotes, then you won't make the peace, you know?
Yeah, like disagreement is essential, unless it's like, I don't know, so like you're a one woman show, in which case you do.
If you're having a disagreement on a one woman show where you're doing everything, that's a tiring situation. I think you'd get tired real quick.
But like, if you want to collaborate, it's like, why would you want to collaborate if you, like, you're not going to get anything out of collaboration unless there's disagreement, because otherwise you could have just done it all yourself, because you, the ideas would all be the same.
Yeah, well, it's the thing of like, it's feedback, right? Except it's not like formalized, here is a, I don't know, teacher, tutor, supervisor, somebody who's going to sit down and watch you and then give you feedback and all make it all really formal. It's just like people who have other thoughts and who are trying to make the thing better. And like, that's all it is, because I think that's a distinction to make between like, what is disagreement that is like an argument, was that a terrible noise? Like, what is disagreement that is like an argument has happened over creative, but usually, I mean, I think what we're actually talking about isn't creative stuff at all. It just happens in creative spaces, versus what is disagreement in a creative way, like about creative work. And I think that is always constructive, unless it becomes personal.
But I think what I'm trying to get at is that if like conflict or like disagreement management skills are not taught, developed as part of your like practice, that is when you end up in argument, because you don't have the skills to negotiate those situations.
I think that's a comment on training institutions, or on, I don't know if it's bigger theater companies or just theater companies that were created and grew during a time where the director was large and in charge, and we, as members of a company would have had to, I don't want to say obey, but obey does sound like the right word, to what they, not obey, fulfill the vision. And now with your company specifically, but in general, there is a shift towards more ambiguity to who gets to do what and why they get to do it and what input gets absorbed into the show that is being made. And there is, that means everything is more complex and because of that, sometimes more complicated.
I think what you're saying about people becoming more and more fluid in, yeah, and like who gets to do what. I think that's exactly what we're trying to get at. I'm trying to figure out how to then navigate. And hopefully the solution to that is to have like what we're calling like leads on movement, on text, on tech, on whatever, to try and, yeah, to try and have this like fluid, everyone gets to have a say, and there isn't like a hierarchy as such, but there are still things that people are leads on, so that I think, I don't know.
I think it's months. It's about being like, we all have like equal sway and part and space in the creative process, whilst also being like, this person knows the most about this. And that's great. Like, like, I'm not gonna like, I don't know, argue with you on like dance, right? When I haven't danced since I was like 14 and you're doing an MA, right? Like, that wouldn't make any sense. But in the same way, I'm like, I know that I should probably be the last person to edit a piece of text, because it's just about like efficient distribution of skills.
I need to edit my texts. Like, I will not put on a text that you have not looked at.
Like, it's about just, yeah, like acknowledgement of skills and permission to take space in the process with those skills.
I think there is also something to be said about the group that we have going for this project does have very, I don't know if very clear leads, but like something that was kind of designated in a skill-based way. But I do think that there are spaces, especially with a larger group of devisors, where that negotiation of what gets to be put in the work or who gets a say on what bit, and you know, like it depends on how the piece is structured as well, that negotiation of just because you mentioned we are all equal people in the room, which is a very like important concept that I really hold its high esteem, and when the group is bigger, that becomes more difficult to negotiate, and that negotiation, or that we can call it conflict, because it just, if we think about conflict as two ideas, not necessarily contradicting, but that cannot exist, like, not that cannot, because everything can exist, right? But not two contradicting ideas, but two ideas that cannot be in the same piece at the same time. Then who gets to make that choice and how is the choice made is a negotiation that is not often seen through. Somebody would give up rather than working through creating something new, making a logical argument for why one over the other. Because it's not only about the logic, sometimes it's about people's negotiation skills. Mm-hmm. We have all been in rooms, I think, again, I'm making a very big generalization here, that we have all been in a room where somebody was better at speaking up for themselves than the other, the faces that are currently happening are wonderful. I'm enjoying them greatly because they show me that I don't live in a vacuum. Like, this happens often, that there is just someone who is better at speaking for whatever reason, but that doesn't devalue the other opinion. And having those skills to be able to stand up for yourself and having devisors and actors and creatives who all have that ability to put themselves out there and not be afraid is something that I'm particularly keen on and work towards in my practice.
Yeah, like I think, oh, do you want to go for it, Billy?
Okay. just that, like, yes, absolutely, I agree with what you're saying, Yuval, but I think also it's about creating a space where you acknowledge that maybe some people need a little bit longer to process, or some people just work in different ways. And so, yes, having a group where everybody is happy to speak up, but also having a group where everybody is aware of who hasn't maybe spoken up, and then to address that and see why and see what's going on.
And absolutely,
whether it's like something going on, or whether it's just that they needed a few more minutes to think about it.
Yeah, and having a space where we can go, I don't know, let's come back to it.
Yeah, we do that so much. I think that's like at the end of it, we're like, oh, we were gonna do this maybe.
And like, as long as you have some sort of like system for holding the stuff that needs revisited, it's fine. And yes, yeah, so often like we really feel the time pressure in creative processes and feel like we have to have the answer right now, and then like anybody who can provide an answer, even if other people aren't like on board with it, gets it. But yeah, to go back a tiny bit, I think that in this process we've kind of like consciously chosen to work with people who we consider to be like very straightforward but also kind. because that's what we think this process needs, partly, and like that our room needs is that a space where people can be like yeah, say no to things, disagree with things, and it be okay. But I guess the thing is that at this stage we're kind of like at a point as a company where we're just sort of like building it up. So we have stuff like, we have Rebecca working with us again, who's worked for us on two projects previously, and then kind of bringing you in, and we're sort of establishing the, like, I don't know, core groups of people who we might like work with. And so therefore it's generally people who we have either worked with before as a company, or who some of us have worked with before in other contexts, and so therefore we can create that dynamic as much as you can control an interpersonal dynamic. But you know, we kind of know what sort of working styles we are interested in. It's kind of how you uphold that and its importance within the process when you don't, when you get to the point where you don't like know people on that level. I don't know where I'm going with this. Somebody say
no. It sounds like what you're mentioning is like the underlying values of the company are like straightforwardness, not in a rude way, but in a kind way, that it's being, because honesty, right? There is something about honesty there. And a lot of people are like brutal honesty, but honesty doesn't have to be brutal. It can be kind. And it's all in how you word it. You don't have to make yourself small in order to like appease other people. It's not about people pleasing. It's about just recognizing that there are other people and they have their own sensibilities, and that you are as important as them, but not more important than they are.
In that space. And it's also like, this is a slight tangent, but the idea of like brutal honesty, I'm like, in what situation is it kinder to lie to someone? Right?
big yike.
Billy looks like I've broken her with that sentiment. But like, it's not, because it's like then everybody's just operating under like a
false assumptions,
false pretense, out of fear of there being like a moment of disagreement, you know. Whereas if we can create spaces where we're not scared of conflict, and there is trust and kindness, and we can navigate that, then there's no need for like not saying what you mean or any of that.
I think that it kind of ties into something you said earlier, and then we jumped back, we're jumping around with this, about having time. Both you and Billy mentioned it, having time to process and having time mm-hmm. to work things through and being like, we can come back to this later. There is a concept that you had on one of your like little mind maps, there we go, that's the word, one of the mind maps, but also that I had in my research, which is Kairos, which is a conceptualization of time and kind of talks not only about just timing in the sense of rhythm, but timing in the sense of taking an opportune moment, a moment of opportunity, and striking during that. And striking is a very violent word, so we can just taking advantage is also a very violent phrase. I'm trying to find something that isn't violent, but just seeing a moment and making the most out of it. There we go. And that's something that is important in fencing, which is why it was in my research, but it's also when you have an opinion about something and it might not go well with someone else, finding the opportune moment and the opportune way of raising it and putting it forward is part of a more honest yet kind practice. That's hard to learn and hard to navigate, but I do think that there is a lot to be gained from that.
Yes.
That was a sentence.
Not in agreement.
we have something in the chat. Something in the chat.
I think we're going back to the creating spaces where people feel like they can say what they mean.
Yeah. I just wanted to say it's about trusting that other people don't have like ulterior motives or aren't trying to like get something that they're not saying. But that's going back. I just wanted to say it, and then there was people being really loud.
Would you get to say it now?
I get to say it now. Exactly. Here, look, you made space.
Opportune timing. Opportune timing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's just about, again, like things don't need to be like neat and linear and like.
Yeah. You know? I think the rehearsal or whatever we're calling it, R&D. That we had on Saturday was probably the most chaotic we've ever had anything, but like equally potentially one of the most productive ones.
Like it was more productive than the morning where we just made TikToks about how we were getting nothing done.
Look, PR.
It was an opportune moment to make TikToks.
Exactly.
You know?
It's marketing.
It's very relevant to our show. So. But yeah, it was very productive, but it was also like entirely nonlinear.
And there is something to be said about how chaos and productivity do not contradict.
Yes, very much.
And also that like that works for us, you know, like because of the particular ways our brain works, and that's about our brain, our singular brain, our brain's plural.
Singular.
One hive mind.
But
there is something to be said about our producer Ailey frequently just messaging one of us to
yeah, she's like, I forgot you weren't the same person.
Yeah, thank you.
And
then I do that sometimes too.
But like and that's about like acknowledging our own needs and ways of working and not telling ourselves that they're wrong and just allowing them. And then turns out we get work done when we allow the a way of working that functions collectively for everybody involved, rather than spending ages being like this, like, you know.
Yeah.
We're just gonna spend time berating ourselves for like jumping around or tangenting or getting distracted and then coming back to things when like we get there, you know.
Yeah, it's like that thing I saw a TikTok.
Follow us on the Clock app.
Well, yes. No, I saw a TikTok about somebody. I'm not even sure what they were, as in, I think they had ADHD. Anyway, but somebody talking about cleaning and how they've always like struggled to clean, because they've always thought that you have to, or like they've always been taught that you have to like clean one whole thing, one bit first, and then go on to the next bit, and then that never works. But instead, if they're cleaning, they're like, do one bit and then go to a different room, do another bit, go to a different room, do another bit, and just like go around in a circle until eventually it's done. And I feel like that is very much how we work.
That is our creative process.
Yes. But it works.
Yeah. And it's fun.
Yeah.
TLDR, yeah. Conflict is good.
Basically, yes.
If
you know how to manage it.
If you know how to manage it, and or if you allow space for learning as a group, as a collective, to manage it.
Yeah. If you are not scared of it, basically.
Yes.
Conflict is not scary.
Yeah.
It is inevitable. Let's learn how to work through it together in kindness and honesty.
Beautiful. On that note, that is going to be our quote.
Yeah, I think we have been recording for about 40 minutes. Cool. On that note, thank you for listening. Thank you, Yuval, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Let us know if you want more, Yuval. Let us know if you would like to come on the podcast.
Yes, we are open to anybody.
We will talk about literally anything.
Absolutely. And we will get into conflict with you.
In a kind and honest way.
Yes. If you want to find us on social media, we are on Instagram at the Not God Complex, on Facebook at the Not God Complex, on TikTok at the Not God Complex,
yes,
on Twitter. Okay. On Twitter at Not God Complex. Our website is thenotgodcomplex.com, or you can email us on thenotgodcomplex@outlook.com.
Branding on point.
Yes, we have a show in Vaults Festival. It's called All in Good Time. It's about how we all experience time differently. There will be some fun technical things. It will be good vibes. That's all we can tell you at this stage, but you can go to our social media where you will be able to book tickets, because this is going out at the end of the month. Come see us, please. Have I missed anything? No, I don't think so. Thank you for listening, and we will speak to you soon. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye, Val.
Bye.